Today on Real Life Radio.
As a married couple, there's the demands of the world, the demands of ministry or work or whatever it might be, steals away the creativity of things, and that shouldn't be. The home should be, the marriage should be radical. Why is the world radical? For satanic reasons. The Christian marriage should be radical.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, listen, it is the time for believers to exercise their biblical stewardship. No complaining, no griping, no grumbling, everybody. We are to be faithful about our stewardship, and that is go vote. Get out there and vote. People died that we might have the freedom to vote. You've got the biblical responsibility to vote. And we live in a constitutional republic, my friends, not a democracy, believe it or not. A constitutional republic, which means we the people determine who it will be who will live out in the halls of power what we have sent them to Washington or to the state capitol to do. Get out and vote. It's our biblical responsibility. Pray, vote, and pray again, and may God be merciful upon us.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Life and Bible. Today's message is called Being a Christian in Your Home, Part 1. Marriage is our God-ordained foundation for the home. It's not just a contract. It's a spiritual institution we build our home upon. You see, we need to know what God says about our home life. The Bible tells us that marriage, as its foundation, has proven to be the best, most productive, and successful platform to raise a family. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that communication in the home is key. It's important to the wife for the husband to just listen and not try to become a problem solver. The husband, on the other hand, he wants his wife to believe him when he gives her a compliment. And the kids, well, they're sure to learn from these amazing examples. Just a note that some topics in this message might be PG-13. So if you have ones in the room with you who might be sensitive to that, this might not be the best message for them. Now with his message called Being a Christian in Your Home, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And this is important. I want all you ladies especially to tune into this, because you need to hear this. Guys have a hard time listening. It's just the way that we're wired. I'm not giving excuses, but we're just different. And it's not that we don't care. It's just really hard. And I'm going to, listen. And what I'm telling you right now, my wife has heard this 1,000 times. She doesn't agree with this, but she's heard this. Ladies, it's hard for us guys. When you're talking on the phone with someone or with your daughters or with your friend and you're saying, oh man, did you see that Ulta's got mascara for sale? Do you understand that as a man, for our own sanity, we have to just go, whoop. We just took, We're there. We may be in the car. We're in the room. We can't hear any longer that conversation. Literally, I'm telling you the truth. Oh, did you see? And they have this incredible fabric, and we're gone. Boom. And then, at some point in time, because we're tuned out, at some point in time, the wife will turn and say, and so what do you think about that? And then, you don't care, do you? I knew it. You're not listening. It's very scary because I don't want to know about what's on sale at Nordstrom's. I don't care. I don't care. And then all of a sudden, I got to be in on it. It's too hard. But here's the thing. How you listen to your husband and your wife, listen, it's so important. And it's so hard for us guys sometimes, but I tell you. It determines the next moment in your marriage, how you listen. So first of all, ladies, cut us some slack, we're trying. And in your family, in your home, there's gotta be a way maybe that you can work through that. Maybe wives can say, honey, you can just check out, we're gonna be talking about what's on sale. And then you need to send up flares when you want us to come back. Okay, join us again, come back, we're gonna be talking about things. But we need to practice carefully listening to the words. Good listeners listen without being problem solvers. I'm trying to learn this. Lisa wants me just to listen to her sometimes. Say I'm a guy. She says, you know what? This thing happened and this thing. And oh, you know what? You plug it in and then you turn it on and you bring it and that's it. Okay, well, let's go. She doesn't want the answer. She wants me to listen. Guys, listen. This is serious. Are you listening to me, guys? This is serious. God gave us ears to hear. We are to speak very few words and slowly and wait. Two ears. We got to be listening. Sometimes she just wants you to listen. To just listen. Ask her over here. I'm telling you. But James says in James 1:19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. God gave us two ears and slow to speak. Only got one mouth and slow to wrath. So we're not in much trouble. Be very, very careful. But listening goes both ways. And let me say this. Ladies, wives, when your husband says to you, you look beautiful. I'm speaking for all the guys here today. When we tell you, you look beautiful, you look great, will you believe us? Will you believe us? Because here's what you wind up doing. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. You got to remember something. We could be thinking about the golf game, the angel game, the duck game, or the whatever thing going on. We chose to say because we were touched, and that, and you better take it because it's fleeting. It's there, and it's like, you look great today. It hurts a guy's feeling. It hurts a husband's feeling when we say it, and you go, no, I don't. It's kind of okay at the beginning. I saw some young couples here tonight. They're newly married. It's okay in the beginning when he says, you look beautiful, or she might say, you look so nice, and he turns and says, no, I don't. It's kind of okay at the start, but after a while, will you just believe them? And when we say, you look beautiful tonight, you know, take it. Believe it. We're not getting paid to say it. We really mean it. God's put that in our heart. And sometimes women will say, I can't believe you think I'm attractive. That's the mystery of marriage. God's done that. He has brought us together. And let me say this. Galatians 6:8 says, Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 says, for he who sows to the flesh, listen, will of the flesh reap corruption. All right? Why am I bringing it? What does that verse apply? Because if you're looking at celebrity magazines, okay, and your husband says, you look beautiful, you will not believe him because you've looked at celebrity magazines or whatever they're called. Oh, you know what? I don't have hair like so-and-so. Who? We don't know you. Who? Well, you know what? I'm not as tall as so-and-so on that show, you know. Who? We don't care. Don't judge yourself in light of this plastic Madison Avenue Hollywood world. It's ridiculous. And if, listen, if they had their act together so much, then why are they so unhappy and constantly changing the way they look? You look at somebody 1 month who's famous, and you look at them 3 months later, and you go, who's that? You can't even recognize these people anymore. They look like they went to Mars and came back with something, you know. Without Christ, your heart's unsettled. You need to see your value in Christ. It's very important. What gives in a marriage? You do. Whenever you look, let me explain, look. Every husband and wife should look at each other with affection. And I think you should get caught looking at your wife or your husband with affection. I really do believe that. I think you should flirt with your husband and wife as often as possible. Yeah. Ask the front row right now. Didn't you flirt with her or him before you married them? So all of a sudden, you know, well, I'm married now. Date your husband. Date your wife. A very famous Bible teacher. I'm not going to say how famous he is. He's famous. The wife thought that she was losing him. Ministry demands. Everybody's pulling on him. She felt like she was left out. All these girls getting in line to talk to him. She felt like she was losing him. He came home from the office one day, and he walked in the front door, and she was wrapped in cellophane. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And that is such a tremendous thing, because as a married couple, there's the demands of the world, the demands of the ministry or work or whatever it might be, steals away the creativity of things, and that shouldn't be. The home should be, the marriage should be radical. Why is the world radical? For satanic reasons. The Christian marriage should be radical. The world should be knocking on our door saying, hey, what's going on in there? It's amazing. Our God made all this stuff. You think I'm joking? Genesis 26:8. Check this out. Like father, like son. It says, now it came to pass, verse 8, that when he had been down there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through his window and saw there was Isaac, showing endearment, or sporting with, as the old King James says, Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, quite obviously, she is not your wife, she is your wife, so how could you say to me, she's your sister? Because you don't do that stuff with your sister. I think that's kind of cute. Abimelech looks out over his kingdom and says, two people kind of flirting around with each other. That's clearly not what brothers and sisters do. And he says, hey, what's the deal? Husbands and wives need to be like that. And we have all these reasons. Well, you don't know my husband. Well, you don't know my wife. All it takes is one to start changing that marriage around in this area.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
But we need to look at each other with affection in your marriage. If it's not happening, you need to ask the Lord, listen, if you say tonight, well, I don't think I can do that, then are you a Christian tonight? Yes, I'm a Christian. Okay, then listen, we're 95% there. Ask God to give you eyes for your husband. Ask God to give you eyes for your wife and watch what happens. It's vital. The Bible says regarding this, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to this. This is in the Bible. My lover is like a gazelle, like a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the lattice, peering through the lattice. My lover spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come away with me. And all the women said, oh. This is Solomon talking. A man's man. And he's flirting with his honey. It's got to be like that. Song of Solomon 2:14. Oh, he said, my love, or my dove, he says, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. This is in the Bible. God says, this is the way it ought to be. All you husbands here tonight, listen to this. Song of Solomon 4:1. Behold, you are fair, my love, he says. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats coming. Now, hang on. Wait, I'm going to explain this. Come on, come on, come on, come on, focus. Your hair is like a flock of goats coming down from Mount Gilead. Let me tell you what that is. We've seen this happen, and if you're with us in Israel next month, you'll probably see it happen too. This is what that means. The goats and the sheep come out of the forest down the steep cliff, the hill. We've watched it happen in Israel. It's insanely beautiful. And they're predominantly, many of them are black. The hill is so steep that when they come down, they go like this in an incredible concert of movement. He's saying, your hair is so wavy and beautiful, like sheep. It looks like sheep coming down Mount Gilead. Come on, man, where's your imagination, people? Gee whiz. We need more courses on this stuff. He goes on to say this, your teeth are like a flock of shorn or shaved sheep, which have come up out of the washing. They're white. Every one of them bears twins. She's not missing a tooth. And none is barren among them. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David built for an armory, on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which, all right, you know what? Forget it. You can't handle this. Well, clearly we have to pick this up next week. Gee whiz, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so in need of your counsel. Tonight, Father, we know that in our midst, Lord, in this group, there's got to be a family or two, a husband and wife or two, that are thinking, you know what, we need some help. We need God. And they may love you, they may be on their way to heaven, they know Jesus and they're saved and all that stuff, but there just seems to be a disconnect in the marriage. And yet it's supposed to be the model, the witness. Yes, it's tough at times. Yes, it's a struggle. And yes, you just have to sometimes just say, we got to make this work. But Lord, it is a foundation. It is a spiritual covenant. You've made it. Your word answers to it. And if we would just calm down and seek your word, our marriages would flourish. Lord, I pray that you would heal tonight broken homes, broken marriages. There might be somebody here tonight or somebody who's watching right now and they have a plan. They actually have adultery on the books. It's next Tuesday at 3:00. It's a plan. It's been leading up. The flirtation's been going on and all this stuff's been getting closer and closer. Now the big moments come. Lord, we pray right now in Jesus' name around this globe that you would preserve these marriages and that you'd just break that devilish appointment with lust. And Lord, that you'd wake people up to see that they've been tricked and deceived and lied to by Satan. And Lord, that there's nothing really, as tough as it may feel or seem, there's nothing more easier than to get a home back on target with God. It's much easier to do that than to go in to the depths of Satan's plans. We pray, Lord, tonight for healing. To those, Lord, that are watching right now in their own homes and wherever they might be, we pray that you would reach them right where they're at. Maybe it's a businessman in a hotel room, or maybe it's a wife that's tuning in right now and she's saying, yeah, I can't take this anymore. Heavenly Father, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'd come into that place right now where they're at and touch them. Lord, that you would invade our lives, no matter how bad, no matter how okay, or no matter how great our marriages might be. We pray that Jesus would be bigger still in these marriages. And Lord, that young people would look and say, you know what? I can't wait to get married. That young people would look around at our marriages and say, you know what? That's what I want to be like when I grow up. That's something that has to happen on our watch. And Lord, we know, we confess tonight, it's not going to happen unless we go to your word. So Father, we pray for the moving of your Spirit. And right now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe tonight you're here and your home life's out of kilter and you've come here tonight and you've got a long story, but there's only one right now that God wants to begin with, and that is, what is your story with Jesus? You see, don't put the cart in front of the horse. Don't say, well, if God fixes my home, then I'll come to know him. Listen, this is how God will fix your home and your marriage, by you coming to him. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, right now you might be saying, I want Jesus Christ. And that means this, that he died on the cross for your sins. Yes, that's an unpopular thing to say, but it's absolutely true. Let's just grow up. We've all sinned, starting with me. Jesus died on the cross for me. And for anyone tonight who can say, yes, and I'm thankful he died on the cross for me too. If you say tonight, Lord, I want your forgiveness, I want your freedom, I want your power, and Lord, I want to start life all over, brand new, in Jesus tonight. Then watch him work with your family, with your wife, with your husband. There are people here tonight that could say, boy, I wish I would have done this sooner. I wouldn't have lost my family. If that's your decision tonight, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians are praying for you right now, will you lift your hand up? And it's not a magical lifting up of the hand. It's just a public confession that you're making, that you're saying, Jesus, come into my life. God bless you in the back over there. Anyone else? Right up front here, God bless you. Over here, many of you toward the back, God bless you. That hand going up, God bless you in the very back. You're saying, you know what? I need Jesus Christ in my life. I want to live for God. I want him to take control of my life. My friend, you will never regret it. Anyone else in this last moment, you're saying yes to Christ? Yes, God bless you. Excellent. Father, we thank you for these who have raised their hands, and in doing so, that hand to go up requires a changing of the mind, and the changing of the mind means the heart was touched. And Father, they're coming today, they're coming this evening, and they're saying, Lord, free me of my sin, cleanse my life, I want to be new, I want to start all over again, I want to start fresh. And Lord, I thank you that tonight we've seen models of that in life. We can reboot our computers, we can hit reset on the computer. And we thank you that through Jesus Christ, we can press reset to life. And Lord, tonight I pray that you'd come in and flood these who are saying yes to you. Speak to them, strengthen them, own them.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Being a Christian in Your Home, Part 1. Thanks for listening today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible, a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of the Christian life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
So last time we were together, I walked out of here with a book.
You did.
I had no idea how great it was going to be. You turned me on to Warren Wiersbe, like, I don't know, 30 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, sure.
And I pay attention to it. I use his commentary all the time.
Yeah.
And I turned my wife on to it. She absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I like this one even better.
It's a great book. And it's, by the way, it's been flying. It's been a great resource that we've been making available. But what's fun about this is that you can have your Bible in your hand.
Yeah.
And you can have this excellent work by Wiersbe, and he'll give you what I like to think of as like a jump start.
Yeah.
It's almost like a little boost regarding, let's say you're going into Genesis chapter 13 or Revelation 9. I mean, you pick a chapter of the Bible, and Wiersbe gives you this preamble,
yeah,
to prepare you for what's in that chapter. I would like to have, honestly, every Christian that can hear us right now own that for themselves. Get it however you can. You don't have to get it from us, but get it. By all means, get it.
I'm such a fan. Can I tell you the way I've been using it real quick?
Yeah, please.
I'm in 1 Samuel. I find myself going, well, what just happened here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when Saul became king, you know. And I went back to Wiersbe's book and I went, oh, okay, so that's what I just read. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he's wonderful. I mean, he's now with Jesus, passed not too long ago, but I mean, he was the pastor's pastor. There's no doubt about it. Great Bible teacher. But it is with the Word, with Warren Wiersbe. Get a copy for yourself, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, with the Word, every chapter of the Bible.
I have a problem, though. I got to get a second one. My wife actually walked off with mine yesterday.
Well, since you got a free one, the price has tripled. Okay. God bless. Be warm and be filled.
With the Word by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Grab your copy today for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.